Isn't it awesome? I remember coming into this church. It was roughly 20 years ago, 1997. And Pastor Moore used to do Wednesday nights was Old Testament teaching. And he did line for line, chapter for chapter, book for book. And I know they're recorded somewhere. And then on Friday nights, he did New Testament teaching. The same idea, line for line, chapter for chapter, book for book. And it was really awesome to come in. And back then, every Friday, all of our kids got together like we do on Wednesdays now. We didn't have the community center or anything like that as we just had. And our church was almost twice the size as far as building square footage. It was pretty crazy. We had a full kitchen. And I was just thinking about that, like, where we were and where we are and what God is doing. And the other part I was thinking about was convention. So if you missed Baltimore Convention, then I highly encourage you think about it next year. Some of what I'm going to bring out tonight, I started a little bit in Baltimore. Pastor Schaller called me up on a Sunday night to share a little bit. And so we'll kind of play off of that a little bit. So let's pray. So, Father, thank you and praise you. You are such a great God. As we heard in that song, Father, that we are new in you, Lord. We are a new creation in Christ Jesus. We are new. What a beautiful thought. Bless this message, your word, to our hearts. Speak to us, Lord. Speak to our hearts. Speak to our minds. Give us concentration, give us focus on you and your word as we just, those worship songs, just prepare us to hear from you, Lord. Use this vessel, bless this portion, we do ask in Christ's name. Amen. So a lot of this stems off of, as I was saying, Baltimore Convention. They had this idea, this theme about being built upon the rock. And I took my son away for a long weekend, and we took a class together, and I kind of played off of that and some verses. And so tonight we're going to kind of play off of that a little bit, and I'm going to start in Proverbs in chapter 13, and we have five slides if you want to put the first slide on the screen. And we're going to talk about wisdom. And if I was to title the message, I remember back in the day, we always had to have a title to every message because it got printed on the cassettes and the CDs and everything else that got published. So every message had to have a title. So if I was to title the message, I would call it Take the Path of Wisdom. Take the Path of Wisdom. And we know the book of Proverbs, it's a book of wisdom, right? It was written around 950 BC to 700 BC. And over that period of time, there's 31 chapters that were written. You know, the old sayings, there's a chapter a day. Every month has X amount of days. And you can read a book of Proverbs. And the book of Proverbs will give you divine perspective. It'll give you guidance for life. It'll give you discernment. It'll give you wisdom. And that wisdom, we can actually use that. We can knowledge applied in our lives become wisdom, and we can learn and we can grow. So let's look into Proverbs a little bit tonight, and let's learn and grow and maybe grab a hold of some wisdom. So Proverbs chapter 13, verse 1 says, "A wise son heeds his father's instruction, but a scoffer does not listen to rebuke." In verse 20, it says, "He who walks with the wise will be wise, but the companion of fools will be destroyed." And we can apply this in various ways, right? We can take these kind of verses and we can get a natural understanding of it, like great grandpa, you know, sitting in the rocking chair on the front porch. He's lived a great long life. He can teach us something. There's something to be learned and gained. But also we could take this and we can apply it in another way, that God is our Father and we are His children, and God speaks to us through His Word, and we can grab a hold of His Word and we can walk in it and walk with it and walk with God. And in that we walk in wisdom, a path of wisdom. And it says, a wise son heeds his father's instruction. We can very simply say God gave us the Bible, right? This is the very basic stuff right here. He gave us his word. And his word is like a guidebook. It's like that manual for life. There's all these books, you know, math for dummies or computers for dummies or whatever it is for dummies. And they have the yellow covers, right? This is like our book. God's speaking to us, and he's giving us a manual to how to live our lives. Proverbs, wisdom for us. He who walks with wise men will be wise, but the companion of fools will be destroyed. In Proverbs, we see many, many verses, and I'll just read off a couple. I'm not going to turn to every one, but Proverbs 14:24, Proverbs 26:4, Proverbs 12:1, 12:15, 13:10, 20:20, time and time and time again in Proverbs, God speaks to us about wisdom and walking in wisdom and having a life that leads us down a path of wisdom. And slide two is that old saying, right? Bad company can corrupt good morals. And part of the class I was taking with my son, you take these, it's like 15 or 20 or 25 minute little DVDs and CDs, and you take the class. And then after the class, there's like different things you do about the class. And then you talk about the class. And then there's kind of a workbook. And then you take a break. And there's a bunch of them that you work through. And they talk about this a lot, how bad company can corrupt good morals. And there's that old saying, right, about if you have apples, you take a bag of apples and you stick it in like a cool place in your house because you don't want the apples to go bad. You want those apples to stay cool. You want them to stay crisp, and you want them to stay nice and hard and fresh, and just so when you bite into it, it's delicious. But what happens if one apple in that bag starts rotting, right? Then every apple that apple is in contact with starts rotting. And then every apple those apples are in contact with, they start rotting. But wisdom tells us, be careful of those things. Watch out for those bad apples. I have a saying that I use with youths and teens. I say, are you having a positive impact on others, or are others having a negative impact on you? And you can kind of play with that with this saying, right? Bad company can corrupt good morals. If you hang around with the right kind of people in the right places, they might have a very good positive impact on you, and you might have a very good positive impact on them. But if you hang around with the wrong type of people and hang around in the wrong places, then that bad behavior or those bad morals can actually have a negative impact on you. So versus instead of you having a good impact on somebody else, all of a sudden the tides are turned and they start having a negative impact on you. You can be a really good, great, moral, strong person. But if you start hanging out with the wrong people, if you start hanging out with some bad apples, watch out, because it might rub off. It might rub off. So one of the slide three is some bear traps, right? So bear traps are pretty crazy. If that can hold a bear down, imagine what it would do to somebody small like me. It would tear me up pretty good. So part of the class I took, the teacher takes a gymnasium. And in the gymnasium, he lies out some bear traps. And he takes some of the students and he brings them into the gymnasium. And he kind of picks one of the maybe bad apple kids. And he says, all right, do you think you could get from this end of the gymnasium to that end? And, of course, some cocky kid's going to be like, absolutely, I can do that. No problem. And he says, all right, hold on a second. He goes over and the teacher blindfolds him. Do you think you can do it now? And there could be bear traps on the floor. There could be rat traps. There could be whatever you want there to be, right? They're just a maze. And our life sometimes can be like a maze. And the devil can be just setting traps all over the place for us. And in the world is just like trying to like get through that life blindfolded. But that's not how it is. Right? So you can imagine a student, here's a gymnasium, and here's a maze of traps laid down. And there's some children on one wall, some sons and some teachers, and maybe a father on the other wall, and they blindfold the kid, and the teacher says, all right, on the count of three, I want you to walk from this end of the gymnasium to that end, but you're going to be blindfolded. You can imagine the hesitation the kid has, right? Like, blindfolded. Did you see the size of that trap? If I step in that, it's going to take my leg. And the teacher starts counting, and the kid's like, one. Kid, all right, I'm going to do this. Let's go. Ready? Two. And all of a sudden, the father yells out, stop, wait, stop. And the son's like, huh? He hears his father call out, and his father says, stop, wait. And the son stops, and the father works his way through the maze, and he grabs a hold of his son, and he says, put your hands on my shoulders. And the father, not blindfolded, says, I will lead you to the other side. I will lead you through this maze. I will lead you through this maze of life, right? The world, it's blindfolded. And people are walking blindly through a maze of bear traps that they call life. But we can say, let God the Father lead you. Let God the Father lead us. We can take this in the natural sense, but we can take it in the spiritual sense. We are the children. We are the ones on the one end of the room like, I'm going to walk through this maze of life on my own? No way, I don't want to walk through this maze on my own. God, I want you to lead me. Father, I want you to grab a hold of you, the hem of his garment. I want you to lead me through this life. And as he leads us through this life, we take the path of wisdom. Because it's not our own natural man, it's not our own natural understanding. But it's letting God lead us through life. Proverbs 7 is quite a crazy chapter if you've ever read it. It talks about a harlot, and a harlot's on the streets. And I'm just going to read the chapter quickly so you can kind of get the picture here. Proverbs chapter 7, I'm going to read the New King James. And it starts, my son, keep my words. And treasure my commands within you. Keep my commands and live, and my law as the apple of your eye. Bind them on your fingers. Write them on the tablet of your heart. Say to wisdom, you are my sister. So he's saying, make wisdom part of who you are. Be so close to it. Bound with wisdom. Grab a hold of it. Call understanding your nearest kin, that they may keep you from the immoral woman, from the seductress who flatters with her words. And it goes on. Now it starts speaking of a crafty harlot. For at the window of my house, I looked through my lattice and saw among the simple. I perceived among the youths a young man devoid of understanding passing along the street near her corner. And he took the path to her house. In the twilight, in the evening, in the black and in the dark night, and there a woman met him. With the attire of a harlot and a crafty heart. She was loud and rebellious. Her feet would not stay at home. At times she was outside, at times in the open square, lurking at every corner. She caught him and kissed him with an impudent face. She said to him, I have peace offerings with me. Today I have paid my vows, so I come out to meet you diligently to seek your face. I have found you. I have spread my bed with tapestry, color coverings of Egyptian linen. I have perfumed my bed with myrrh, aloes, and cinnamon. Come, let us take our fill of love until morning. Let us delight ourselves with love. For my husband is not at home. He has gone on a long journey. He has taken a bag of money with him, and he come home on the appointed day. With her enticing speech, she caused him to yield. With her flattering lips, she seduced him. Immediately, he was after her as an ox goes to the slaughter, or as a fool to the correction of the stocks, till an arrow struck his liver as a bird hastens to the snare. He did not know it would cost his life. Now, therefore, listen to me, my children. Pay attention to the words of my mouth. Do not let your heart turn aside to her ways. Do not stray into her paths. For she has cast down many wounded, and all who were slain by her were strong men. Her house is the way to hell, descending to the chambers of death. It's pretty descriptive word picture, isn't it? I actually did this study with all of my kids while we were away camping. We read Proverbs 7. Pretty gruesome one to read with your kids, huh? But I used it, and I said, okay, naturally we can talk about the male being seduced by the female, the harlot, but let's think of it in more of a spiritual way. What things in this world could seduce somebody that they walk away from the path of God? And it doesn't have to necessarily be the natural harlot here. It could be so many things. How many men, big businessmen, chase their career and forsake their family? How many people search out materialism and having more stuff, better clothes and prettier dresses and more cars and faster cars, and they forsake God? How many people are so caught up in the things of the world? Video games. Video games are like taking over younger generations, where they sit in front of the box and they look at a glowing screen and they're so focused on that they don't even open up their scriptures. They don't open their Bibles. All of these things could be a harlot to any one of us. Anything where it takes your focus off of the path that God has for you and what he has for you. Anything that may make you look aside and walk the other direction. It is like the harlot in Proverbs 7. But he says, the very beginning, he says, my son, keep my words. He starts there. And then he yells out in the end, listen to me, my children, pay attention. Proverbs is a book of wisdom. It is showing us the right path to take in life. It is showing us the right direction to go in. We need to grab a hold of Proverbs. We need to grab a hold of the Word of God. And we need to take heed to what God has for us. And it's not by works. I mean, don't get me wrong. Our natural man loves works. It loves things to do and that mentality. But it's this, that we say yes to the person of Christ. The Holy Spirit comes, lives inside of us. We become a new creation. And now I respond to God's love by faith. And I live in a walk of faith out of a response, a reaction to God's love for me. And that leads me down the right path. Not a work, not works, but my reaction and my response to God. But this is explaining that there is wisdom in the right path of life. There is wisdom in the words that God speaks to us. And outside of that, he finishes there, her house is the way to hell. So many people, they leave that path, the right path, and they go down the wrong paths. Ephesians 5, 15, 16, and 17 say this, see then ye walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is. God has a perfect plan for your life, and it's so much greater and better than anything this world has to offer. And for us to grab a hold of the Word of God and to walk in it, to walk circumspectly. The Greek word is akribos, A-K-R-I-B-O-S. And it means to diligently walk accurately. That's meaning I'm watching where I'm going, I'm paying attention to what I'm doing, and I'm staying on the right path. If you ever watch Pastor Schaller, he has this one drawing. Sarah would draw it all the time. If I had one of those things, I'd be drawn all the time up there. It'd probably be more of a distraction. But he used to draw this path, and it would go like this, and there would be cliffs on either side. And he would use that over and over and over in various messages. But that path, that one path that we want to take in life is, what does God have for you? He has a plan for you. He has a purpose for you. It's greater and better than anything you could think of. Let's go to slide 4, and we're going to go to Matthew for just a moment. So one of the amazing things about Christ was he was constantly speaking to his disciples. He was constantly teaching his disciples. He was constantly leading them and showing them and helping them in life. In Matthew 7, verse 24 to 29, it says, "Therefore, whoever hears these sayings of mine and does them, I will liken him to a wise man who built his house on the rock." And that was the theme of convention, built on the rock. If you're unsure of convention, ask me later. I'll fill you in. Built his house on the rock, and the rain descended, the floods came, and the winds blew and beat at that house, and it did not fall, for it was founded on the rock. But everyone who hears these sayings of mine and does them will be like, and does not do them will be like a foolish man who builds his house on the sand. And the rain descended, the floods came, the winds blew and beat on the house, and it fell, and great was its fall. So he's saying when we build our life on the rock, there's wisdom in that. That wisdom that guides our life, that wisdom that leads us down the right path. And again, in Matthew 16, verse 13 to 18, when Jesus came into the region of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, "Who do men say that I am? Who do men say that I, the Son of Man, am?" So they said, "Some say John the Baptist, some Elijah, and others Jeremiah, or one of the prophets." He said to them, "But who do you say that I am?" And Simon Peter answered and said, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." Jesus answered and said to him, "Blessed are you, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father who is in heaven. And I also say to you that you are Peter, and on this rock I'll build my church, and the gates of Hades shall not prevail against it." As I was studying, I started thinking about Jesus and the disciples and the life of the disciples. And I kind of came up with these steps that I just was working and studying and praying through. And this is what I came up with. So Jesus taught his disciples, and Jesus led his disciples. Jesus walked with his disciples, and Jesus showed the disciples the way. Jesus led by an example, and then Jesus sent the disciples out. And he says, we are to be hearers and doers. And again, it's not works. Don't take it like that. It's not what it's about, but it's a response. Jesus loved his disciples, and he taught them. He spoke with them. He walked with them. He was with them constantly. And the disciples ended up being sent out. They had a love, faith response to what Jesus Christ was doing, to the life he was living, to the example he was setting forth. And we, through Christ, through the Holy Spirit in us, we lead the blind to Jesus. Those that lay in darkness, we lead them to light. Those that are standing in quicksand, we can show them the rock. And that's the path of wisdom. That's the right path. So let's go back to the first slide, and we'll close. So in Proverbs, where I started, a wise son heeds his father's instruction, but a scoffer does not listen to rebuke. He who walks with wise men will be wise, but the companion of fools will be destroyed. I thought that was such a great example when I took that class with my son about the traps and the maze and how important it is for us to be like that child, but ultimately to let God lead our lives. We pray, Isaiah 26:3, perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee that trusteth in the Lord. We pray and we say, okay, God, what do you have for me? What do you have for me in my life? What do you have for me today? Where do you want me to work? Where do you want me to go? What do you want me to do? We pray, we ask God, we talk to God, we open the scripture, we read it, and we walk down a path of wisdom in life. Let's pray. Father, we praise you and we thank you, Lord. Father, we do pray that we take these words and we apply them to our lives, that we may walk with you, and that it not be a works, not a response out of religion, but that it is a relationship, that out of faith we respond to your love and we go forward, Lord. Father, lead us all, guide us all, give us wisdom, give us discernment to go down that right path in life. The right path, to take the path of wisdom. With our eyes closed, our heads bowed, maybe you stumbled. Maybe some traps have been set and you took a wrong step or the wrong path. Our God is a God of love. Our God is a God of second chances. Our God is a God of forgiveness. Our God is a God who has a plan for you. Just talk to him. Lord, help me. Help me to take the path of wisdom. And if you haven't accepted Christ, then you want to. You want a new beginning. You want to become a new creation. You can simply ask in a simple prayer of faith, thank you, Jesus, for dying on the cross for my sins. Make me a new creation. I want a new beginning. By your Holy Spirit, come into me and live and make me a child of God. Simple prayer of faith. Jesus, come into my life and live. Make me a child of God. I want a new life with you. Lead me. If you're praying for that for the first time, just let us know. Write to us, email us, so we can reach out. Father, bless these words this night. The teachers, Lord, and again, bless our pastor as he travels to and fro, and as he comes home, safe journeys, Lord. Teach us, Lord, teach us, speak to us to take the path of wisdom. In Christ's name, amen.